If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke 24. Verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. We're going to read the first 12 verses there. And it says there, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they had found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Praise God for that. Amen. "And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we just thank you for another opportunity to come to your house, Father, to gather together as a church, and Father, to worship you. But Father, on this special day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection, Father, we know that we have hope because of Jesus' resurrection. And Father, I just want to praise you this morning for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, that if when we die, Father, we will rise again as well with you in the resurrection. And Father, that when you come back to earth, and Father, that's the great, our hope, Father God, that's what we look for next on that calendar, Father God, is that when you come back. But Father, we got so much work to do until he comes. And Father, your grace, Father, because of your grace and because of your love, you want every person to be saved. And Father, we are the ambassadors to go. And Father, to tell this resurrection story that you conquered death. And Father, I just pray today, as these women came to the tomb with sorrowful hearts, Father, that they went away from that place in wonder. Father, telling the good news of the gospel. Father, that you had risen from the dead. And Father, that even though not everyone believed, Father, they still told that you had risen from the dead. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that we have hope in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about how to do this week, I come to the conclusion that I was trying to get into some ladies' minds, which probably isn't the best assignment for me. Okay? Because I definitely do not know how a lady thinks most of the time. I figure that out watching my wife, and she sets me straight very often. Okay? But you know, ladies, these women were very courageous ladies. They had been at the crucifixion. They had been at the cross. And they watched Joseph of Arimathea as well as Nicodemus put Jesus in the tomb. They knew where the tomb was. Now, I don't know whether they knew everything about what the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, has done as far as putting a seal on the tomb and guarding the tomb. But I'm telling you that they knew where it was. And they had a plan. And a lot of times our plans are things that really does matter. They were showing their love and their devotion to Christ. These ladies were doing the best they could do for someone they loved and loved dearly. You know, as I thought about that, Jesus told them multiple times that he would die and be resurrected on the third day. You know, I counted up just because the Bible, just because of a computer, you can look these things up. But it's seven times in Matthew that you can find Jesus told them that he would die and he would be resurrected again. It's eight times in Mark. And Mark is the shortest gospel there is. And he told it more times than the other gospel writers. Luke, you find it at least four times. I'm not saying this is how many times you'll find it, but it's real close. And in John, it's four times. And as you think about those things, how many times do you have to be told before you believe something? You know, I had to be told multiple times if my mom and my dad was going to discipline me. A lot of the times my mom had to tell me multiple times, probably six or seven times sometimes. But when dad spoke, you know, it was more like two, maybe three times. Because if you let it go any further than that, then he was going to direct your path for you. And I didn't like that very well. You could get it away with mom, but you couldn't get it away with dad. Guys, I say that to say that God gave us everything that we have in the Gospels. He gave us everything that to show us these things. And yet, these people walked with him day in and day out, and they still didn't believe that this day was going to happen. That they didn't believe that he would be crucified. Peter told him, "No, Lord, this cannot happen to you." And what did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." You know, he was on the pinnacle right there. He had just confessed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the very next couple of verses that you read there, he comes to the point of saying, "This cannot happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, these ladies were doing something really good. They were trying to show their love and their devotion to their Lord, even though he had died. And they believed that their hope was completely diminished. Matthew 12:40 says it like this: "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So the followers of Jesus knew what Jesus said, but didn't believe it could happen. Listen to that. They knew what he said, but they didn't believe it could happen. You know, what promises in the Word of God do you know that you just don't think can happen in your life? Then you ain't no better than these ladies and gentlemen right here that's in the Bible. Because Resurrection Day, they didn't believe Jesus was going to rise from the grave, even though he told them multiple times. Multiple times. Just examine yourselves for a moment. What do you want to happen in your life as far as your relationship with Jesus Christ? What do you desire? How much of the Lord do you desire? That's a hard question. Because a lot of us are hanging on to life that we don't want to give up, or things that we don't want to change. Guys, they had a preconceived thing of what Jesus Christ was going to do for them. Okay? These men and women that we're reading about in this resurrection story wanted Jesus to rule and to reign right then, right now, and overthrow Rome. That's what they desired. What do you desire in your life? What do you desire for the Lord to do to you? And does it line up with His will? You know, as they got ready to go to the tomb that morning to show their love to Jesus, they gathered together. And you know, as you read the gospel writers, this is one thing that I thought was always neat as a kid. I didn't understand it as a kid, but as a kid growing up, I would read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I would think, my gosh, these guys are telling the same stories. Why do we need to know this four different times? But they write just a little bit different. And I would think, well, these guys they're telling the same story, but they're telling it different. Guys, God's going to work in your life different than he worked in my life. You ain't me and I ain't you, and your experiences ain't my experiences. And thank God for that. but to show their love for Jesus. The talk of the morning as they went to the ladies that was traveling as a group was, how are we going to roll that big heavy stone away from the door to get in there to do the things that we want to do, that we desire to do for Jesus, to show our love to Jesus? How are we going to do that? Is there something impossible in your life that you don't think can happen? Do you really believe that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that He resurrected from the grave and that He conquered death? Because the God that I believe in can do anything according to His purpose and according to His will. But your will and His will may be different in that situation. See, you've got to believe the Word. You've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to focus up on it. You've got to keep living it and live through it and ask God what He would have you to learn in your situation. These ladies, they was getting ready to learn a whole lot about their Lord. Amen. Oh, buddy, they were getting ready to learn a whole bunch about Jesus that they hadn't considered. Maybe they had considered it, but they didn't know how it was going to happen. And as I was sitting there thinking in my study the other day, I thought, they watched Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, leaders in the Sanhedrin, leaders in that place. They watched him take the body down of Jesus. They watched them maybe put him in the tomb. Maybe they watched them put the spices around his body and they didn't think it was enough. I don't know what they thought about that whole situation, but these guys had never openly confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord. Never openly confessed, even though that the Bible says they were secret believers. I don't know about you, but I was a secret believer at one time in a lot of realm of my life. I didn't want people to know who I was, that I went to church on Sunday, that I believed Jesus resurrected from the grave. I didn't want people to know that because I was made fun of a couple of times in my childhood because of those things. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were exactly that until they went and asked for Jesus' body. Now, these women may have not understood why they were doing the things they were doing other than they thought he was a prophet. You know, that's what Nicodemus thought of Christ. But I believe he came to saving faith in Christ, watching Christ die on the cross and what he had said. So they get to the tomb and they see that the stone is rolled away. It is completely just rolled back. And they could peer in if they wanted to. Now, the gospel writers, Mary, got to the tomb before anybody else. How she got separated from the group, I don't know, but you know, she went before dawn, actually, just a little bit before dawn, the gospel tells us. And as you look at that, the other women came later, and Mary, she didn't go investigate. She just seen the stone was rolled away, and she took off to tell the disciples what was going on. She may have not even got within 25 or 30 feet of where the tomb was and just saw that opening. And guys, she was dealing with false information because she didn't investigate further. How much false information do we deal with in our lives? How much are just preconceived? How much of it is just what you interpret to be? You know, as I was sharing with a guy last night or yesterday in my time, he's got some preconceived things about what God thinks about coming to church to worship. See, he thinks it's okay and that the church don't need to gather together. That's just for people that need it. Well, I don't know about you, but I need it. I need it. I need to be here today because to gather together and see you guys gather together and all for the same purpose and all for the same plan is something that you and I can relate to, and we can strengthen ourselves and we can grow together. But that lady was was looking at the tomb from afar and assuming that somebody had stole his body, that something had happened that shouldn't have happened. And she ran off to tell to the disciples. The other women arrive. And instead of just assuming and taking off, they go to the tomb and look in. I hope that's what you do. I hope that's what you do with the Word of God, that you take it and you look at it and you say, I want God's perspective on this, not my own. In every situation of your life, whether you're going through troubles or storms or whatever things are going on, and sometimes our storms are self-inflicted storms, much like Jonah. You know, that video said, we are Jonah. But Jonah's storm was a self-inflicted storm because he didn't want to do what God told him to do. He knew what he was told to do. He knew he was a follower of Christ, much like every one of you guys today. Maybe you're sitting here today and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior as a very young person, but you're not close enough to Him to tell me what His purpose is for you today. Well, your purpose is the same thing as my purpose, and that's to proclaim the name of Jesus, to tell people He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, that He resurrected from the grave. That's your purpose. You're going to reach people that I can't reach. Brother David can't reach everybody in this community and the community that you live in. Because we all come from different places and we gather here because of the story, because of Jesus' resurrection. We gather here. He lives here inside of us. We bring Him with us each and every day. And you know what? It's for you to take back out there and share the good news. To share the good news that the tomb is empty. See, these ladies looked in. What are you doing in your life? Who are you going to reach? Do we believe the promises? What kind of things would run through your mind if you were there? That's what I tried to think of. What kind of things would run through my mind if I had seen the empty tomb? Would I be Mary, who wouldn't look in the tomb, but just take off and go and tell somebody that there's something really bad happened? Actually, it was really good. Amen? This is the greatest news ever. Or would you be like these other ladies and want to investigate? Please be like the other ladies. Go investigate. Not that Mary did anything wrong. She just looked at the situation. And a lot of times that's what we do. We look at that situation and that determines how we go. We don't investigate further. And sometimes we're like Jonah and we don't want to do what God tells us to do, and we go the other way and we're in the storm of our lives. But the Father sends a reminder. Verse 4 says, "And it happened that they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth and said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." The Father sent a reminder. He sent angels from heaven to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ because His followers wouldn't believe. Because the 11 didn't even believe. But these ladies didn't even believe. And they were followers just like the 11 were. Why do we keep saying the 11 in this chapter? Because Judas had just killed himself. Judas was no more. See, he looked at the situation and said, "I can't get forgiveness for this, and I'm taking my life out. I'm done. I'm not willing to go through it." And we have a lot of people that do that. But guys, let me tell you something. That one situation, God would have forgiven him. God would have forgiven him. He gave him multiple opportunities to say, "I don't want to do this." These ladies needed to remember and believe. And Jesus, God, sent those angels
to provoke that memory. Look at what the scripture says. They said, He is not here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Do you remember? Guys, remember what the story says. Remember what God says. Because it's the only thing that's going to stand the test of time. Everything else is going to pass away. His word will not pass away. But we forget. I forget. I don't want to forget. I definitely don't want to ever forget this part. And guys, it's not going to be easy to be a Christian if the world keeps going where it's going. Are you willing to remember that He's with you wherever you go? Are you willing to sacrifice your life for Him? Because that's what it may cost you, is your life. Remember, it's His life. When you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ into your life to have control of your life. The storms in life does not rule you. Jesus Christ rules you. And I have trouble with that. Do you ever have trouble with letting Jesus rule your life? Boy, I do. John 11:25-26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you concentrate upon that promise? Even though you may die, you will live. So I look forward to that day. Not necessarily of my death, but the day that I get to step into heaven and see Jesus Christ. I look forward to that day. Death don't scare me, only the part of how I'm going to die. I don't know what I'm going to have to experience to cross that bridge. Okay, God is with me, just like He was with these ladies. Just like He knew they didn't believe, He sent messengers, and He will do the same for you. If you need something proved in your life, ask God to help you through it. Ask God to help you believe. There's a story in there. It's not in my notes, but there's a story. There's a parable a situation in the Bible that says, Jesus asked the guy, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because there was some doubt, and these ladies should have been saying, Lord, help me to believe. I am the resurrection and the life. I love this next part. I was reading this week, and these ladies come to be morticians, to make Jesus' body smell better, to look a little better. But guys, they left to be missionaries. Woo! I don't know about you, but they had a plan. See, they were confused. They didn't know exactly what was going on, but they went from being morticians to being missionaries. And guys, that's what we are. We don't want to talk about the dead body of Jesus Christ too long before we let people know about the resurrected body of Christ. Because you know what? That's what gives us life, to believe in the gospel of the good news that Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. I didn't think that up. I read that, by the way. Wow. I just had to think about it. Huh. See, they had this plan, but they ended up going with God's plan. Go and tell. Go and tell. Don't it say that in there somewhere? Look at verse 5. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into their hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise the third day. Look at verse 8. It says, and they remembered his words. That's the key verse right there in my sermon. Remember his words. In life, you're going to go through trouble. It's a guaranteed thing. Young, old, middle-aged, it don't matter. You're going to have trouble in this life. But remember his words. Believe His words. And sometimes we need help believing His word. Sometimes we need brothers and sisters in Christ to come along and bear that burden for us of our unbelief. But you can cry out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And He will help you. Maybe not exactly at that moment, and it may come just like it did to those ladies right then and there. And they remembered. But I'm telling you, it will happen. It has happened in my life multiple times. You know, as I was thinking over this sermon and thinking about believing in the promises of God and the truth that God gives us, I thought of a situation when I was a kid growing up. And as a kid growing up, a lot of the time, I would doubt my salvation. One day I come home and nobody was home. Dad wasn't there. Mom wasn't there. My two little sisters wasn't there. And I thought, oh great! The rapture's happening, I'm all alone. You ever do that? Am I the only one that's ever done that? I don't know, but I thought, I don't want to be in this situation. But guys, I'm telling you, if you've committed your life to Christ, He is with you. He is with you. Luke 24, 11 and 12 says that, and their words seem to be like idle tales. You know, as they go back, just think about this for a moment. They go back and they're discussing it among themselves, much like they discussed how they was going to roll that stone away. And they discussed remembering. I can just imagine that. Remembering the how many times Jesus told them that He was going to die, that He was going to suffer, and then He was going to die, and on the third day He would rise again. But they couldn't make a whole lot of sense out of it all. But they knew that he wasn't there in the tomb. And they began to go, and they was talking among themselves as they went, and as they remembered those times in Galilee, in Jerusalem, He said these things. While we were on the Sermon on the Mount, maybe they were thinking about the Sermon on the Mount and how many times He might have said it then. I don't know where they were at and exactly what they were doing when He said it, but I believe they remembered each time they heard it. Now, how did Jesus come into your life? At what point? You see, we all got a different story, and they all remembered those times that they were heard that promise that He would rise again. And they get to the disciples and the apostles, and their words seem like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Think about that for a minute. The very followers of Jesus Christ, the ones that had walked with Him for 3.5 years, didn't believe what these ladies were having to say. Even though Jesus had told them. See, they didn't remember at this point. How much have you traveled through your life not believing the Word? Just parts of it. Just take a piece here and a piece there. See, the gentleman I talked to yesterday, he believes in Jesus Christ. He believes you have to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He believes that He lives in your heart, but he don't believe that you should gather. You don't have to gather. You don't have to gather. You tell me why Hebrews 10 tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He couldn't tell me that. And I said, that's the reason I gather. That's the reason I do what I do. I've been friends with this man all of my life, or a lot of my life. He's fixed my car numerous times. Worked on my old piece of junk that I used to try to tear up every weekend because I wanted to impress the ladies and act ignorant for the guys and get praise for it. Okay? But he would fix it anyway. They seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. See, guys, you can't pick and choose what you believe about Scripture. You believe it all. Force yourself to say, I'm going to believe this. Don't question in your mind what God has already said in His Word, and it's never going to pass away. See, I used to do that. You can't do that. It's all God's Word. From the beginning to the end. We can't leave any of it out. He wants to leave the Old Testament out, this friend of mine. It don't matter. I said, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, we're under grace. You're right, we are. Praise God for that. But Jesus said, I come to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, not to do away with it. Listen to what it also says in Luke 24, 11 and 12. It says, but Peter arose. And if you read the other gospel writers, you can read that John beat him to the tomb. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Let's pretend today that we hear the good news for the first time. Can you remember the first time that it actually dawned on you what you were hearing preached in church? That Jesus resurrected from the grave, that He was God in the flesh. Do you remember that? Good, because I don't either. I do remember the day that God convinced me that I needed to be saved. You better have that day. Not marked on your calendar, but I'm telling you, there better be a day that you decided that I'm going to turn from my sins to God and let Him take care of it. Because guys, I'm telling you, that's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There's no other way to God except through the Father, except through Jesus Christ. But the apostles, and I say that because that's what they become. Amen? These 11 guys that didn't believe these ladies become the apostles. Think about that for a minute. They considered it idle tales. But Peter and John, they didn't go investigate just a little further. I think Peter had his doubts. I think Peter, as he was running, was trying to figure it all out. And when he looked into the tomb, the Bible says, if you read in the other Gospels, that John stopped at the door and he peered in. But Peter, being Peter, just went ahead and went in. See, that's me. Just plow through there and find out what's going on. Okay? That's what I want to be. Maybe I rush into things a little too quickly sometimes before I have all the information. But Peter wanted to know the truth. But see, guys, that tomb still didn't convince Peter, because he goes home and he goes his way wondering what had happened. Wondering. Guys, we're all going to wonder in life situation how this is going to turn out or how that's going to turn out. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in God? And you say yes. I hope you say yes. If you believe in God, then it's going to be according to His plan, because nothing escapes Him. Nothing. Nothing surprises God. He knew, He knows, and He's going to know what's going to go on in your life from the time you accepted Christ all the way to the end, to where you draw your last breath. He's got it in His hands. I am so thankful for Romans 8. That tells me that nothing can take me from my Father's hand. Nothing. That scripture convinced me that I didn't need to worry about my salvation. All I needed to do is live for Jesus. I didn't have to worry about being... right with God. Because Jesus' blood made me right with God. All I had to do is focus on living for Him in situations of life. Now, do I mess up? Every day. Do I think wrong thoughts? Yeah. What do I do? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not all thoughts, if you don't put them to actions, is sin. But if you will repent of that in your mind and say, Lord, help that thought not to enter my head again. And Satan will send it right back, especially if it's something you're addicted to. Satan will send it to you again and again in the weakest parts. But guys, listen to me. He's there to help you. Call out to Jesus. Call out to Jesus. The last point that I have today. These ladies went and told. Peter and John go investigate the tomb. The Bible says that they went to the disciples themselves and to everybody else who believed. I don't believe they were all gathered in one spot. I believe they were scattered throughout Jerusalem, around the countryside, and they went and told each person. And Mary Magdalene, just to finish it up, Mary Magdalene goes back to the tomb and is wandering outside the tomb, and she gets to meet the resurrected Lord. Now, she perceived him as a gardener. Are you going to mistake Jesus in your life? I hope not. But she did. She perceived him as the gardener. And he said, Mary. And she knew him immediately. Do you know the voice of Jesus when he's speaking to you? Let me read to you what he said. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says, guys. Make disciples. And then it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to look at two things. Jesus said go, and that's to all that believe, that we're supposed to go and make disciples. Where? All nations. Here at home, as well as abroad. You know, and that's one thing I love about Hillcrest Baptist Church, is that we go. But we need to be here at home as well. What are you doing? Not the church, not where this, but what are you doing in your life, in your community, with your friends and family? How many times do you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and teach people why they need him? I asked my friend that because he refuses to be a part of the church. Every day, I do that. I said, you verbally talk about the gospel. No, I live it. I treat people the way I want to be treated. That's good. I hope you do that. I hope you treat people the way they want to be treated. But guys, I believe it comes to the fact of verbal telling people about Jesus. Taking time to do that. And I'm not tooting my own horn here, because I mess up. I fall short. But I asked a young lady a couple of weeks ago about praying for her while before me and my wife ate our meal. She came back to us just a little bit later and said, I've never had anybody do that for me before. Go and tell. Teach all things that they may observe what I have taught you, what I have commanded you. The last statement he says, and lo, I am with you always. Don't ever think that you're going it alone. Do you doubt that you're supposed to do it? Pray about it. Do you doubt that you can come up with the right words? He says he'll give it to you when it's needed. Now me and David, we get to study, plot, and plan for this week, okay? The guys out there on the streets, in the highways and the byways of your life, you can't always plot and plan what you're going to say. You can have a beginning and they're going to take you off track, just like my friend did this week. The Lord convicted me that I needed to speak to him. Are you confessing Jesus? Are you teaching about Jesus? Are you leading people to Jesus, the resurrected Lord? Just bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute as Miss Kathy comes and Harold, if he wants to. Think about somebody in your life that you know that you need to be a witness to in your life. Maybe somebody that you've witnessed to several times in your life, but maybe you need to do it again. How many times does God allow you? Did God allow you? How many times did He convict you? How many times did you just pass it off as an idle tale? Guys, it might be that one more time. Statistics show us that people have to be told at least 7 times before they make a decision for Christ. Who do you know in your life? Maybe you're not a Christian today. The Bible says, if you'll confess me with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It does not say you might be saved, but it says you will be. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know whether you're saved, because I've existed in that spot for a long time. Don't exist in that spot. Claim the promises. Believe the Word of God. Do you need to come and pray for somebody that's lost today? I would encourage you to do that.